Well, hello there. Welcome to my first episode of Motocross Supercross for my page, Mike.com. Hey, I've been waiting and trying to build websites for years and integrate the AMA timing and everything else. Just give you a little background about myself. My name's Mike. I grew up racing since I was 5 years old. I'm not going to dive real deep in that, give you every detail, but bottom line is I'm probably like you. I love Supercross and Motocross. I've been watching it forever. I love all the riders. My last race, my not last national, actually, I won in Glen Helen. I was actually freaking 45 years old, and with the Over the Hill gang, and that was one of the best times of my life. I had 3 years of riding when I started. I lose 60 pounds. I was almost 300 pounds. Dude, I was on it. I rode lots of different tracks around California. I had no clue what it was like getting back into it after working and drinking and smoking for the last 20 years. So I love motocross. I love building a bike. I built my bike from scratch. I had a Honda 450 CRF, suspension, engine, everything. So I'm a mechanical nut. I'm also a computer systems engineer, DBA programmer. So for the computer tech side, I'm a complete nerd. And at the same time, I'm a complete motocross nut who likes to get down and dirty and work on shit, work on my boat. Now that I traded my bike for, and I regret, I really want to get my bike back. But what the show is about is, I just want to talk about motocross and the supercross, and, hats off to Jason Anderson. Fucking A, I love the guy. I love Tomac. I love Muskin. I'm a Honda nut. I'm all red. You know, I was hoping that, Roxon would bring it, and I'll go into that later too. And that's what I mean. I want to talk about all this. The great thing, and I'll bring it up here and there, is I've aggregated all this information. I've been working on a podcast series for all my other stuff. I have two autistic kids. Motocross really helped them. Me going out to the races and us doing the camping and everything while they're young. So that was a big part of their life and a big part of my helping them grow up and get through a lot of hurdles with autism. And this is not about autism. This is about motocross, supercross. However, this is all on my site called mypagemike.com. I've been on the internet before the internet, which was DARPANET and ARPANET. To give you an idea, I've created many, many sites. So I'm back at it again. I've been working on one for almost 2 months now, which I finally ended up coming back to My Page Mike. I had 3 second brain. I had My Page Mike's or Mike's Mobile Cast, a Diversible Me. God, what the hell is going on here? What the fuck is going on here.com? All kinds. And so I finally centralized on My Page Mike. And while I was working on my other episodes that I'm still trying to get sorted out, I'm actually developing a product to integrate to the Anchor website I'm recording on right now into my MyPage Mike website. I finally was realizing, hey, I have a news feed that I come in about daily news. I need to get them going with Supercross and Motocross like I've always wanted to do. So I have live timing on it. I have Supercross. I'm going to look at the menu right now. What I have right now is, if you go to mypagemike.com, there's a menu item that says MX-SX, of course, for Motocross, Supercross. The first option is live timing. The second one is articles from MX Vice. I did an RSS feed from then. So you'll see some top articles from them, and it refreshes every 6 hours. So it's kind of like what we call an aggregate of information. There is also Vital MX, Trans World MX, and Motocross Action. So I have 5 different sources coming in to the website along with AMA live timing. I love the live timing. I mean, there was times I couldn't even see the goddamn race, and I sat there watching live timing, and I literally can, if you're a motocross nut, you're watching this, you can You know, I'm looking at this right now. Eli Tomac was 4 seconds ahead of Muskin, and you know, wow, Blake Baggett was 24 seconds. Holy shit, behind Tomac. That's pretty far. And then behind him was Christian Craig, 7 seconds beyond that. But I could literally just watch the live timing and get a good view and an idea of where, you know, who was winning, what was going on. I also love the results on this. Tells you everything, of best lap times and you know, provisional results, individual lap results, fastest segment times, lap charts. So I could literally look at the lap chart too, for let's say heat two. I could look at the lap chart and see that out of the gate was Chad Reed. He led the first three laps, and then at the last four, by lap four, Tomac took over and ran with it through four, five, six, and seven. And but hey, Chad Reed hung in there. I love Chad Reed, you know, from the days of battling with RC and you know, James Stewart, and you know, and so I have a lot to, you know, to put in here, and maybe this is good. I get to ramble somewhere where I get to talk about this stuff, because I still have a lot to say and, you know, input on at least the top writers. I'm not really familiar like a lot about K, you know, T. Pauly or the other writers who were, you know, not so much in the spotlight or at the top 10. I watch them all, of course, but you know, there's some things that really bug me. I want to get out of my, you know, kind of get out of my system, or I mean, I'll just bring like Dean Wilson. I love Dean Wilson. He's the nicest damn kid, right? He grew up, he was a great guy. And I mean, is a great kid, a great guy. But what the fuck happened to him? He was kicking ass on everybody for a while. And I'm sure you guys will agree, right? You know, he was on it. And he just hasn't won or done anything. And the other one was Cooper. You know, Cooper Webb. What the fuck? You know, I mean, what happened? And so the good thing is, you know, I want to link this, and I want to get some conversation going, and maybe get a sidebar with chat or something to have us, I don't know, maybe even on race day. I'm thinking about opening the mic, and I'm going to be watching and rambling as it's going. So this is the first podcast. This is what it's all about. The great thing is this is going to be explicit contact, you know, content, so I can say what the fuck I want. This ain't gonna be, you know, just no cussing, anything like that, because that shit don't happen in motocross, right? I grew up on post with the dad that was a drill sergeant, and on top of it, riding motocross, which is like a fucking war zone. So, you know, I have the mouth, I have the experience. I know what it's like to be out there racing. I've had bad times, bad get-offs and shit. I had my good days. I just love it. I love the fucking smell of dirt and oil and a two stroke. I grew up riding two strokes, four strokes. I love them both. I know, you know, I built both engines. I worked on them for a long time. So I can understand why the love of them. You know, I'm very impressed with the way that the four strokes have, I guess you could say, grown up with their little piston caps. And you know, the amount of, you know, that now the RPMs they put out and the torque that they have, and they're fucking unreal. And to see Husqvarna come back is a total trip. That's like seeing friggin', you know, Triumph build a bike or something, you know. When we were racing at one point, we had one of the six prototypes from Harley-Davidson. We had 13 bikes when I was growing up. I won 4 or 5 Grand Nationals. When I was doing the, you know, the smaller bikes, I had an XR75 and a YZ80, and went on into an Elsinore 125, and then we had Boltaco and Triumph. But Harley-Davidson gave us a 250 prototype with forks in the rear. Believe it or not, you can Google it. Hell, that was way the hell back there. We were out racing Watsonville and Prunedale, and it just didn't pan out. Especially with the, you know, when you went through the whoops and stuff, you just don't have the rebound, you know, for it to get back in time for it to be smooth. And the delay was horrible. It was about as fun as the monoshocks. Remember that? You know, you have the first monoshocks in that, or all of them, I guess. the goddamn things would spring load on you and almost fucking throw you off the goddamn thing. And it was a neat innovation, but not that great. And thank God following that, Honda came out with ProLink and really started the whole thing that really became what suspension is today. So, yeah, I mean, there's so many things I can think I could just keep rambling on about. And again, hats off to Anderson for winning it. Muskin almost got in there. Goddamn Tomac and them still came back and got second and third. And Baggett, what the fuck? You know, the Army, that guy, I've seen him just, remember the days? Oh, my God. There was times where he would be racing and you're just like, no, he's not going to. And at, like at Hangtown, I've seen him. And many other races, he's like a freaking soldier, and he would just kick ass. That guy wouldn't give up. Dean Wilson too. I mean, many of them, there's a lot, you know. I'm watching the replay of Vegas right now, you know, Jeremy Martin, McElrath, and Santarello, I never could say his damn name right, Joe Smith, Sabachi, all of them hanging out in the 250 class, you know, they're just kicking ass. Osborne, kind of shocked Osborne really came out. You know, he's on the Honda. It didn't do as well, but boy, he really came out of his shell, you know. So glad to see it. I'm glad for all of them. You know, I have a lot of respect for every rider. One thing I realized from riding when I, as especially as I got older, never talk shit about a motocross race or UC race in this race. And I'll tell you why. Because even the guy in 20th fucking place will beat your ass. You think he sucks? Put you against that guy in 20th place and you will find out how fucking fast that guy is. 10th place, you know, 12th. Because I will never forget one of these guys coming out here to California. By the way, I'm in Sacramento, California, the home of Hangtown, which is actually Rancho Cordova next to Sacramento, next to Folsom. Our race is coming up. We're part of the, you know, big deal. A good friend of mine, Jim Moe, number 69 of Over the Hill Gang. He's like 58, still racing. One hell of a guy is the... he's pretty high up in the Dirt Diggers, and they're the ones who prep the track and get it all ready and everything. And there was a time I went out with my kids and we helped throw hay bales around and, you know, do little chores and all that stuff to get it race ready there at Prairie City OHV, which is also Hangtown. Used to be up in Plymouth and now has been for many years down here at Rancho Cordova. So motocross season is coming. We got that, or the Hangtown is not this Friday, but next Friday. Son of a bitch. We got like 10 days of my goddamn work. I have to stay at home. I'm, you know, I basically run a billion-dollar banking system as a DBA engineer. We have a big update that Friday, so my ass has to stay home. Man, I used to drag my kids out there and watch those battles. I will never forget that day when I was out there watching. And I went for all 3 days. I almost was going to do the amateur race. But I'll never forget J-Law, 338. Racing with Villapoto. And you guys remember good old J-Law, Jason Lawrence. And his shit then, stuff that he did. And that poor guy, you know, he was good. He was good. But I will never forget that time I started seeing him when he brake-checked Villapoto and then cross-checked him. Villapoto was getting pissed and riding around the edge, and I was standing there at the fence, and they both, and I could see him battling. I'm like, what the fuck are they doing? And I was like, man, it looks like J-Law's gonna fucking piss off Villapoto. And I was thinking J-Law, you know, is pretty badass and stuff, but I knew Villapoto wasn't gonna take shit either, and him up and coming, he was just fucking awesome. And of course, he always was one of my best guys ever up there. Of course, all of us, right, with RC, you know, you just got to give the man. That's the man's man, just like RC, Dungy, you know, love those guys. They had so much credibility and everything. A bit pissed with James Stewart because the way he went out was just kind of shitty. He just kind of played a game. He never officially announced it. You know, I got a lot more respect for Chad Reed. But I still love the guy, you know, James Stewart. I love his brother, you know, he's really awesome. He's still in it and he's still trying to do good. But I'll never forget when Jason Lawrence was flying around that corner and Villopoto was right behind him, and they came down up to the tree, did a drop, both of them shot in the air, almost connected in the air. And that's where about where I was. They came to do a right hand turn, and fucking Jay Lawrence literally just brake checks him, like stopped. And then fucking Villopoto was pissed and threw his bike up into him, and they started fighting right there at the corner. I was standing not that far from it. And that was the one time that we actually helped build the track. And I was like, oh my. I was laughing, but I was like, what the fuck? And then I was like, oh shit, fucking RV's gonna get kicked out of the fucking race, right? He's gonna kick ass. And same with J Law. You know, they got penalized and that, but I forgot what happened that race. Probably Villopoto won. But God, there's so many memories. I kind of had a point in my life where I was working and I had lost contact with motocross and everything. I raced for a good 12 years and then I disconnected for a good 20. You know, that's a long time, long fucking time. So I missed a whole McGrath. I mean, I've watched a lot of it and went back and seen a lot of stuff, but you know, I connected up when RC was starting right at the end, I believe, of Emig, you know, and then RC was coming on, and you know, so I really started wild. Then I started riding again, and then I was totally into it, right? Because I was racing every damn weekend, building my bike all week. I was a nut, you know, just really fucking loved it. Basically, what happened is after I finally finished, and I was going to be bumped to, I was in novice, and I just with my kids and my work and everything, I just you know, I wanted to go, you know, and I was doing good in the first couple races. I was up there in the top five at least. I was jamming, I was getting my shit together and doing the jumps better, and I'm a big dude, so it's kind of scary for me. So I just couldn't, and I just started helping older riders. Like I'd go out to hang you know, to Prairie City and help people ride and stuff like that. But I gave it up for my boat, and I don't regret that. I went all over the fucking place. I motocrossed that boat around the Alcatraz, Golden Gate. I fucking got in place where I'd be in like 4 foot swells and I'd be motocrossing that bitch. It was a 16 foot Bahama with the old Volvo Penta engine in it, which I had that I'll have a lot of experience working on that son of a bitch. But yeah, we went out to Golden Gate. You know, we're not far from San Francisco and Alcatraz and fishing and up and down Sacramento River, all the way out to the Delta. And so I've been all over the water throughout, you know, lots of places in California, not as many as I'd like. But it was the same thing, you know. I just fucking love it. You're out in the middle of fucking nowhere. The only thing I hate about boats, right, versus a bike, when your shit breaks on your bike, you could just get off it. But when your shit breaks on the boat, you're fucking stuck. And not just that, but you could be drifting down the fucking river, right? So you ain't gaining ground. You're losing it. And then you got to wait for somebody, wave them down. I hate that shit. I hate asking for help. I'm too fucking hard-headed and old school, you know. So my fucking daughter who's autistic be waving people, and I'm like, come on, babe, cut the shit out. But you know, she would save us, and then she would stand in front of the boat with a cape on made out of a towel or something, how she rescued us. It was cute as hell, but I'm glad because my stupid stubborn ass wouldn't have fucking waved them down. Anyways, so we are coming up on the motocross series, and I'm hoping I can keep getting time. And I'm sure I will. I'll make time for this. This is so much easier than me doing my podcast series, which is talking about autism and everything else. Again, on my page, mike.com. So this for me is way the hell easier to ramble and talk about and really like it. You know, I have to go on my other podcasts. I have to backtrack under 200 stories about like history and stuff like that before I get to other good, newer stuff. So it's almost like a fucking torture. And I'm still fighting with that, and you know, so anyways, I think this will be cool. I think it'll motivate me to kind of do the podcast more, enjoy doing it and talking, and getting it out there. I just thought about it when I was sitting here. I was thinking, nobody, I don't know if anybody has a fucking podcast, a Supercross Motocross. On Adam Santarelli just won the 250. You know, there's Plessinger. He did good too. This I'm still looking at the 250 East West Showdown. Yeah, hats off to them. McElrath, Savacci, Sexton. Sexton, you know, he does pretty good, but that's a crashing guy, you know. God damn it, he's on a Honda. You know, anyways, Osborne, Plessinger, all those guys, you know, that's great. So I'm going to end this episode so I can get this to push it out. I'm doing a test at the same time with this episode. I'm going to do a second one. I need a couple to get going. It's 63 that has the autism support deal on it. I just noticed that. My son asked me. My son and daughter is 18 and 17, autistic, as I said. I still have a lot of stuff and work to do with them. I still bring them on adventures. We're going to start messing with the damn boat again. But if there's any chance in hell I can get a used 450 or whatever, so. When I stopped fucking riding, I got diabetes. I fucking should have kept the bike. I was not, didn't have any. I got plantar fasciitis on my goddamn feet. Everything after I stopped fucking riding that you get when you get older. I'm 54 now. But all the shit that I did not fucking have when I'm riding. So let me tell you, if you are riding and you're older, don't fucking stop. Get out there every weekend, do your laps, and get off like my other buddies did. They'd go out 8 o'clock in the morning. They'd fucking be out there on the weekend. They do their 1 and 2 hours, couple motos, you know, just on the basic practice track, not hang town, just to get their ride in. And then they would say, "Well, put my shit up. I gotta go home and do yard work," you know, and go and they're healthy as shit. I really need to get my bike back. I really wish I could. And I will, you know, I'm still eventually I just bought the house and we had to rebuild the whole fucking house, walls, floors, electrical, everything, because the people that we bought it from devastated it. So that threw me off for 3 months. So things are settling. And actually that was part of the, I was trying to do the podcast earlier and shit went crazy on us. So, on me, and I'm, you know, I still have a job, you know, of course, it's still working. So, again, I'll probably come up and think of some more stuff to do for a second episode to talk about it. And the reason I want to push it out to Apple, I want to push it out. There's all these other places that, you know, these podcasts will broadcast to. So what I'm doing here is creating a podcast episode that'll go out to COD, CastPod, and Overcast, and Apple, and there's seven other places it broadcasts out to, and that's the systems I've been working on, and as well as pulling the episodes into my website, who's the main primary website. But let me say it once again, it's mypagemike.com. Take a look at it. I got the menu with the MXSX. If anything, it's a nice website to go to just to look at some top stories real quick if you don't have a lot of time. If you forget the address for the live timing or you haven't seen it, it's a great place, you know, mypagemike.com to go there and jump on the live timing, which I'm going to use it for because I always forget the damn address, have to Google it and all that. So now I have a place finally. And I've been trying to do that for a while. So, anyways, come on in. Let me see what I can do about having people being able to comment. Anchor also has a feature about calling in where you can like call in and comment on my episodes or put a message regarding this episode. And then I can take those and append them to the end of the episode, you know, listen to them and then throw them on in there. So that might be pretty cool. I'll have to see what you say if you want to, you know. And if I need to, I will find the link for it and I will get that on the website. Maybe make a page if needed that'll say how to call in or what have you. I'm not really sure, but give me some time. I'll work it out. You know, I'll get it together. But I'm excited. And here we go. And let me see here. I'm gonna get back on here. And I am going to stop the recording. I made it a whopping 24 minutes. Wow.